A call to importune God to stop the war. The next week, James White addressed the readers of the Review. After expressing gratitude for the provision made by the government for the exemption of noncombatants from bearing carnal weapons, he proposed to fellow Adventists. Prayer and giving of thanks for those in authority constitute a proper portion of their Sabbath and other seasons of public worship, and also of family and private devotions. And besides this, we recommend that the second Sabbath in each month be especially set apart to fasting and prayer in view of the present terrible war, and the peculiar relations which noncombatants sustain to the government, that they may still enjoy liberty of conscience, and lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. Ibid, January 31, 1865. Gratified with the article presented by Brother White, the General Conference Committee endorsed the position he had taken and recommended to all our brethren to observe Sabbath, February 11, as a day of fasting and prayer, for the objects specified in said article, Ibid. By mid-February, 1865, it was clear to the committee that if the war did not come to an early close, and if there was to be a call for more men every 5 or 6 months, we must inevitably lose means, or lose our own numbers, and lose those who would embrace the truth, and lose the attention of the people. Ibid, February 21, 1865. We are thus brought, as it plainly appears to us, to a place where if the war continues, we must stop. We repeat it, the war must stop, or our work in spreading the truth must stop. Which shall it be? Relying upon God, and having confidence in the efficacy of prayer, and the indications of His prophetic word, we believe that the work of God must not be hindered. True Christians are the light of the world, and the salt of the earth. If 10 righteous persons could have been found in Sodom, it would have been spared. God's work in these last days must not, will not, stop. Ibid. Then came a most unusual appeal. We would recommend, nay more, earnestly request, all our churches and scattered brethren to set apart 4 days commencing Wednesday, March 1, and continuing till the close of the following Sabbath, as days of earnest and importunate prayer over this subject. Let business be suspended, and the churches meet at 1 o'clock on the afternoon of each of the weekdays, and twice on the Sabbath, to pour out their supplications before God. These meetings should be free from anything like discussion, and be characterized by humiliation, confessions, prayers for light and truth, and efforts for a fresh and individual experience in the things of God. During these days of prayer, we recommend on the part of all a very abstemious and simple diet. Labor will be suspended at the Review office, and there will consequently be no paper next week. We shall expect that all who have the interests of the message at heart will engage willingly and earnestly in this matter, and we pray that those who do not feel over our present times and prospects may be speedily aroused. Ibid. Seventh-day Adventists responded most heartily. President Lincoln, in his second inaugural address, given on March 4, 1865, acknowledged the scourge of the war as a result of the crime of slavery. Here are his words. Fondly do we hope, fervently do we pray, that this mighty scourge of war may speedily pass away. Yet, if God wills that it continue until all the wealth piled by the bondman's 250 years of unrequited toil shall be sunk, and until every drop of blood drawn with the lash shall be paid by another drawn with the sword, as was said 3,000 years ago, so, still it must be said, that the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Ibid, March 21, 1865. By this time the Review and Herald carried in almost every issue information concerning the draft situation and advice to draftees. The issue of March 14 had an editorial written by Uriah Smith, noting marked changes of men in key positions and attitudes that, it seemed, placed the nation in a position where God could favor the efforts of Union forces. The question was asked, "Is not the nation taking a position where God can favor it, and crown its efforts with success? Let the late Union victories and the rebel disasters answer. Let the crumbling power of the Confederacy answer. Let the fall of Savannah, Wilmington, and Charleston answer. Let the giant grip which Grant holds upon the demon of rebellion before Petersburg and Richmond, while Sherman, by his triumphant march through the heart of Georgia and South Carolina, deals death blows to its very vitals, answer. What the course of events in the future may be, we cannot tell. We pray for the holding of the winds, the cessation of this strife. Meanwhile, strong in our trust that God will work in His own good way and time, we wait for the speedy holding of the winds, the last loud proclamation of the truth, and the not far distant consolation of Israel. Ibid, March 14, 1865.